Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
That's just what he did, and he got a swing and a miss from Correa to get out of the inning. Oh, Joe Kelly strutting his way off after an interesting inning. All right, so the benches have cleared, and we'll do our best to maintain social distancing while still sending a message both sides.
So everybody was wondering what the Dodgers and Astros were going to be like when they got together for the first time since all of the information came out about the Astros cheating the Dodgers out of a World Series title and all of that stuff. Well, Joe Kelly made sure that he cranked that thing up to a 12. Did you guys see what happened last night?
Of course.
Did you watch the video and all
that stuff? Of
course.
It was the absolute best thing that could have happened.
And I think Joe Kelly is a knob.
Oh, my, really?
I think he's a knob.
It. So you wouldn't go after the Astros?
I didn't say I
the
wouldn't go after
Astros?
Them. I wouldn't go after their heads.
He threw a
He's a knob.
He threw it behind him. He threw it behind him. Didn't
Laser
hit him.
At him.
Everybody's got to calm down.
He
didn't hit him.
He threw two fastballs at guys' heads. You don't do that.
They deserve punishment
I don't
for what
mind
they did.
I don't mind throwing at him.
Kelly's not the most accurate guy in the world. He doesn't
then,
know where
then
it's
he
going.
He can't be the
He's
one to do it.
Yeah, but he was the one to do it. And he was talking trash to him. It was amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah, he was
Who
was
the idiot we heard
trash.
from one of the guys who covered baseball, remember? And he was like, you know what? I really think that, you know, the Astros, nobody's going to throw out the Astros because of what's going on in this country. And people are losing their lives.
Oh, that was Michael Kay.
Michael Kay. He's like, yeah, you know, just... Baseball is bigger than that, and they're not going to throw it.
Well, somebody throw
second
out
second series, late. They're gunning at their heads, just throwing heaters, throwing absolute
now,
darts
got,
at the Astros.
I got
to
nope.
do it.
Somebody
I got
no problem hitting
cans,
guys.
But there are people dying right now, so I don't think there's going to be that
happen.
Much emphasis on it.
That was hysterical.
Well, they were throwing Altuve in like whatever the exhibition game.
Well, the exhibition, they hit three guys now, but like one of them was a changeup, so I think that one like got away from them, but still it counted as a hit batsman, so... Joe Kelly, and believe it or not, I thought Joe Kelly got overhyped while he was here. Like the Joe Kelly Fight Club, I thought was like a bit much. I wasn't as on board, but seeing him last night go after the Astros was like
making
thank God.
Faces like he's a 6-year-old.
Oh my God.
As he's going off the field
after he threw behind Bregman. He yawned.
Right.
He like yawned. He's like a supervillain. Like he's fantastic.
I understand why Bradfoe is such a man.
Bradfoe loves the guy.
And then when he struck out, what was it, Correa?
And then he struck out Correa. And he did like the pouty face.
Yeah, like go cry, go sit down.
I mean that. You just need it. And
you need a pitcher like that.
You do. You need pitchers like that, and you need the Astros to be on their toes all year because they cheated out of World Series.
But there's a difference, Rich. I got no problems with them getting thrown at. They're going to get thrown at. The Dodgers especially were going to throw at them. You can't be throwing at guys' heads.
Yeah,
that's why they
on.
Wear helmets.
Yeah, they got a helmet.
Dale, you can't be a hypocrite because one of the best players that we love is the most dirtiest player, and that's Brad Marchand.
Mm-hmm.
He'll bridge guys.
And I've killed him when he's done it, Wiggy.
He'll bridge guys.
Wiggy, I've
like guys
him when
like
he's
that.
Done.
I don't mind a guy that has a little, you know, piss and vinegar and
he's
is
fired
not,
up.
And is not afraid to, you know. Hey, especially in baseball, you need a pitcher like that to kind of come to the defense of – you know, batters, and so I don't mind that. I don't mind a guy a little trash.
By
like
the way,
the trash
he
talking.
Wasn't even there when the Dodgers got cheated
but he's
out
there
of the
now,
World
though.
Series.
No, that's fine. But he lost to the Astros in 17 on the Red Sox. Yeah, you don't think they were cheating then?
He's holding a grudge.
If I'm every other team in Major League Baseball, though, I want the Astros to be scared out of their minds when they step into the batter box.
This is what happens.
I'm going to throw square at your face.
You guys cheated. You knew what pitch was coming for how many years? Of course you had success. Guess what? You're not going to know what's coming. And actually, you know what? Decent chance is coming at you.
Right.
So I love it. This is what they need to face a season of this.
Let's hear from Astros manager Dusty Baker after the game talking about Joe Kelly.
Balls get away sometime, you know, but not that many in the big leagues. You know, when you throw a 3-0 fastball over a guy's head, I mean, now you're flirting with his, ending his career. You know, what really enraged everybody is when, you know, he told Carlos, I mean, he struck him out. He told him, nice swing, bitch, and see, what are you supposed to do then? And then what upset me is that the umpires warned us. Why don't you warn him? You know, he's the one throwing the ball, and, you know, he's the one that started this mess in the first place.
It's so hysterical to me.
Trash talking.
But, I didn't mind what he said.
Oh, it's hysterical.
I mean, that's fine.
But Dusty Baker, like, if you know anything about Dusty Baker, if he was on the other side of it, he'd probably have every one of his guys gunning at the Astros and everything else. But he inherited this mess, and now remember when he first took over and he had his press conference, and he was like, you know, hey, you know, you got to, you know, move on. And, like, you know, I don't think anybody's going to be throwing at anybody. And, like, it should be fine. And, you know, they didn't really do anything. It wasn't really that big of a deal. If he was on the other, if he lost games knowing that the other team cheated you out of a win, Dusty Baker would be up in arms. He'd be thrilled for all the Joe Kellys in the world.
But now
he's on the other side.
If it had happened, if he had hit Bregman in the head with the fastball that he threw behind his head, mm-hmm. and Bregman's out for a month, you're okay with that, too?
Yeah, it's great. He's not dead, is he? Just so we're clear, like, he's good?
Yeah, he's out for a month.
He didn't take his helmet off, did he?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got no problems throwing at guys. I got no problems hitting guys. There's a right way to do it, and Joe Kelly doesn't have a clue.
Yeah, I don't know,
but you'd have to be super
accurate. I don't know if he's a knob. He's at least the one guy doing it. Like, nobody else has done it, really, to this degree. Like, he went after him, and those guys deserve that. They cheated a World Series. Like, does that not mean anything to anybody?
Sure.
So
Not there.
You got to go out. You see Joe Kelly pitch. He's not the most accurate guy. He was probably aiming at his hip and got away from him. Remember that video that he threw?
He
broke his own window at his house.
Right.
The guy's not the most accurate in the world. He throws hard. He's always thrown hard.
But it's like you said, now every time they step in the batter's box, they'll be on their heels. They'll know that this is coming.
And, yes.
You know, that's how, you know, there are a lot of players that look at it the way that they cheat.
They cheated. They knew the pitch was coming for the longest time.
Not only did you take a World Series away from somebody, but weren't you back in the World Series again and you lost and they lose to the Nationals?
Last year? Yeah, good question.
Yeah, I think they lost to...
Yeah, they lost to Washington 7 games.
Yeah, so, all right, not only did you take one away, but you obviously robbed people that probably should have been there. And, you know what? Hey, guess what? You suffered the consequences.
Not only did you take away World Series wins and playoff wins, but, you know, Jose Altuve won an MVP in there. You know, mm-hmm. There's all-star appearances. We heard from a whole list of pitchers who had an opportunity to come up to the majors. They faced the Astros. They got shelled. They got sent right back down. Like, and maybe they would have gotten shelled anyway. Like, I'm sure Correa, Bregman, and Altuve are pretty good players anyway, but when they know what pitch is coming,
it's pretty easy.
It's very easy. They're all major leaguers. Mm-hmm. So if you know you don't have to worry about a fastball and you can just sit curveball, everybody can hit a curveball in the majors if they know it's coming.
Well, now you got to know you're sitting on your heels.
Yeah. So tonight, if Dustin May throws at the head of Mookie Betts, that's okay, right? Because he's just sticking up for one of his teammates.
Yeah. He probably should.
Yeah, that's probably part should. Of it. That's, yeah, that's part of the
well,
game.
Well, that was the other thing. When Dusty Baker was like, wait, who's going to throw it, Mookie Betts?
I got the wrong the
his
Astros
teammate?
Pitcher,
Chris, his own guy.
You'd
have a problem.
Javier, whatever his name is, if he throws at the head of Mookie Betts tonight because he's sticking up for his guy, that's okay too.
Yeah, it's the risk you run. And I think what Dusty Baker was like, well, you know, he said, nice swing, bitch. Like, what are you supposed to do?
I don't know. I didn't mind the trash talk.
No, but he said, what are you supposed to do? I don't know, Dusty. Have your guys throw inside on them or have the benches clear or something. Like, you don't have to just sit there and take it.
Right.
Or maybe you should. Like, maybe you should take the medicine because you guys were the ones who, not Dusty Baker, but the rest of your roster cheated to win a World
Series.
Well,
isn't that part of the unwritten rule of baseball, right?
They police themselves.
Yeah, you police yourself. So now if I'm Mookie Betts, I'm a little concerned when I get to that batter's box. It might be some high heat coming from my chin.
Well, that's one of the things you got to worry about. You're like, you know, and maybe teams will have that conversation before they play the Astros. Like, listen, we want to pay back the Astros. But, like, are you guys willing to, hey, they may come back after us and see how ugly this thing gets? And I think some team, like a team like the Dodgers, should have the appetite for it because they saw a World Series disappear right. because of this. Other teams might say, well, whatever. We sucked anyway, so they didn't really affect us much.
Right.
So he didn't hit anybody. I mean, Lord knows he tried. He didn't get ejected by the umpires, although Lord knows they could have. Does Major League Baseball do anything tonight or today?
No. What should they do?
I hope they don't. Oh, that was the other thing that Dusty Baker said in his first press conference. It was like he hopes the league like protects the Astros this year. And so my fear was that you were going to get both benches warned before the game. So, like, you don't even allow it to happen. And then all that
Dusty
does.
Dusty was hot because after Kelly threw behind Bregman's head, yeah. the Dodgers bench got warned.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
How does that work?
I don't know. You have to ask the umps.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. But I think you can't warn teams before anything happens because then they're afraid. And a guy like Joe Kelly, who honestly does not have the best accuracy, mm-hmm. if he starts to try to throw inside,
right.
he can't because he's not good enough. And now all of a sudden you're only working, you know, middle out, and then those guys can sort of lock in on that, and mm-hmm. then you're giving them an advantage. So you can't do that stuff. I mean, in game, fine, you have to. You know, if you're the umpire, you don't want to let the thing turn into a brawl the
well,
whole time.
Well, you know when it's getting out of hand, right? You know, Kelly throws at the Astros throw at the Dodgers, and yeah. it's like that back and
then
forth.
Then we're like, all right, we're done. Yeah, we're done with this for tonight.
Right, we're done with this yeah. for tonight. And when you talk about should they throw at Mookie, you pick your player and you throw at him, right? You usually mm-hmm. go after the best player on the other team because, you know, that's kind of resonate more than anything else.
Right.
And that's part of the baseball. That's part of the unwritten rule. And that's what makes the game fun. That's when it makes it
watchable.
Oh,
baseball needs this. Baseball yeah. needs this bad.
My only beef with last night was throwing at the head. And he did it to two different guys. I got no issues with anything else. Hit him. I got no problem with that.
But he was probably like Rich
said. Trash talk him.
He was probably trying to throw at their back.
A 3-0 fastball behind Bregman's head. He was throwing it there.
I don't think he knows where it's going, Dale. Don't you think he was trying to hit guys? He couldn't even hit them. I don't think he knows where it's going.
And you gotta when you're throwing at somebody, you know that you run the risk that it might hit him in the ass cheek, it might hit him in the small of their back, but it might get away from you and go sail over the top of their head.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be curious to see if baseball before tonight's game, do the umpires start by warning both benches before they throw the first pitch, which they have done in the past, and I hate it. Because, you know, in this case, the Dodgers start the game with a warning, so now they can't retaliate for their guys. Or the Astros, I should say, get warned. They can't retaliate for their guys getting buzzed.
But you also put the pitchers in such a tough spot because not every pitcher has Greg Maddux accuracy. So if you're like, hey, inside fastball, and then it gets a little too in, and now he's out of the game.
Yeah, and that's
so
stupid.
Now you're just like, all right, forget it. I'm just going to work outer half, and then
but
it's such a disadvantage.
But the umpires should know they shouldn't get thrown out because if they want to retaliate or they should know that that's also part of the game, right? They should know. All right, well. Kelly just threw at Bregman. So now I gotta be aware that there's a good chance that the Astros throw at the Dodgers, and if they do, okay, no big deal. Well, I'm mm-hmm. not throwing anybody out of the game after everybody's got their, you know, got it out of their bloodstream.
Yeah.
Hey, we're good to go. Let's get back to playing.
But the problem is they have, and you know this as well, Wiggy. They have begun the game with warnings to both dugouts, which means. As Rich said, you throw a pitch inside and you're out. I mean, now
that's
you're
why
completely
they can't
affecting.
They
but
can't
now you know
it.
But you know if you're throwing inside or if you're throwing at somebody, right? I think you can kind of know that.
Well, I don't know. Rich is thinking Joe Kelly wasn't throwing at somebody because I thought
he was. I think he was, but I don't think – like you can throw at somebody, but he didn't even hit him. So it goes to show you right there how maybe not accurate he is, and maybe he was
trying
to go lower.
When that ball left his hand,
I don't know.
It was going right towards the batter. Right, you know when a guy's just trying to.
No, that's true, but then it gets in the hands of the umps. Some umps are better than others.
Right.
So a guy gets hit in the wrist, and he's like, "Oh, I thought you're throwing at him. See you later." We've seen that too. When a starter goes out in the first inning, and he's like, "Why would I? There's a guy on base. Why would I want to put another guy on base?" Like we've seen it all the time. They screw that up, and so this is only a 2-game series. So they're back at it tonight.
Tonight's it.
And then they do play each other later in the year in L.A., like in September, assuming baseball still continues.
But that's part of all sports, right? It's all about protecting your players. It's all about getting the revenge that you need to get. You see it in every sport. You know, it was the hit on Savard, right? Now, all of a sudden, it's like, all right, we're looking to take their best player's head off. In football, hey, maybe there's a guy that gets lit up on offense, and you tell your defensive player, hey, if you can get a chance, get one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, it becomes part of the game, and you know.
See, the part I hate, Wiggy, is when you don't get the right guy.
Doesn't matter, though.
But like, for instance, you talked about the Savard hit by Matt Cook.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sean Thornton wanted Matt Cook, and he got Matt Cook.
Right.
He wasn't going to go take out Sidney Crosby because Matt Cook took out Mark Savard. I hate when you don't get the right guy.
Well, that's sometimes you get hit with friendly fire.
I was going to say, Bregman was the right guy. Yeah. I mean, really, any of the Astros would be the right guy.
Right. But there are situations.
Hey, you come for our best, we're coming for yours. Mm-hmm. We're not going to come for one of your Scribinis.
So that the Kelly stuff got the most attention last night in the Dodgers Astros game. But you guys also noticed who pitched I think it was the fifth inning for LA was Brewster Gratterall. You might remember him from the first trade that the Red Sox made, Mookie Betts and David Price.
He was only dealing at 101 last night.
Pumping heat.
Yeah, why did they?
Pumping heat.
Why did they take him out of the trade?
Because they listened to all the media say he's a fat guy who has elbow problems, so they rescinded the trade. They panicked. They got such backlash for that trade, because at that point it was just Verdugo and Gratterall. And everybody looked into Gratterall, and they're like, he's got elbow problems. He projects as only a reliever, and he's overweight. And then the next thing you know, they're like, nope, not good enough, L.A. And then they went back, and L.A., who actually got Gratterall from Minnesota, they got him because they thought that was the deal that they wanted to do. They ended up throwing Jeter Downs into the deal, and then they just kept Gratterall, which right away was sort of a red flag. You're like, well, if he was such damaged goods, they would have just kept him in Minnesota, because they gave up an established starter. I forget who. Ryu? I think they gave him Ryu. And so they sent him to Minnesota, and they kept that part of the deal. And the guy's already on his major league roster. He's already pitching. He struck out two guys in the three that he faced, and he was just pumping heat last night.
I mean, not that you need a closer on this team.
No, the bullpen's fine.
No, I mean, you never get to the closer on this team anyway.
That's a good point.
But he looks like he'd be a pretty good closer, doesn't he? Down the road?
Yes. Yes, he's going to be one of these guys. And you see all the really successful bullpens have like multiple guys who can throw 98, 100 miles an hour. It's crazy, but a bunch of them do. And those are the teams that are built to win the whole thing. Not only do they have a couple of really good starters like LA does or Houston does or the Yankees do, but look at the power arms in the bullpen. And whether Gratterall was going to be your closer or your eighth inning guy or whatever, you can never have enough of those guys. And those teams are always set up for success.
Well, you can never have enough pitching. Right?
Never.
Never.
And so, in this case, cheap pitching. Like, if you want to get into the debate about, all right, how many $30 million pitchers do you want? I'm right there with you. The 30-year-old starters, yeah, they do break down. And so that's not always the best investment. But this guy, how old is he? 22, 23? No, he's 21. I'm sorry. He's 21 years old, throwing 101 miles an hour.
That's
and you're like, no, we
right
don't
there.
Want him. Give us a middle reliever. Or, I'm sorry, a middle infielder is what they ended up getting instead.
And that was Heim Bloom.
This was Heim Bloom.
That was him who negated the deal.
Correct.
You know, we keep saying, well, that's not Heim's fault that this happened or not Heim's fault that that happened. This one is his fault.
Heim gets a free pass for most of the stuff, but not the return of Mookie Betts.
No.
I don't think he could have said, no, we're not trading Betts and I want to try to re-sign him.
Ownership, that was, I think, it decided.
That was probably out of his hands. But, all right, his first move was take the second best player in baseball and try to win that deal, like, to the best of your ability. Obviously, you're letting a great player go. He might win an MVP, but that part's not on you. What can you get us in return? And they get him Alex Verdugo. Maybe he will be a decent outfielder. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jeter Downs, who is a pretty highly rated prospect, but he's like a second baseman or a shortstop.
Right. You got crushed in that because
you got no pitching.
Because not only did you get, not only
well,
did
you were
get,
gonna get crushed anyway. Right, just but how not, badly you were gonna
right,
get crushed.
Right, but not only did you give away Mookie Betts, you gave
and,
away you
and,
gave
another
away,
guy who could pitch for you.
Right, you gave away David Price.
Although in this year he backed out, but you didn't know that when you made the deal.
Right, you
so,
didn't,
yeah.
right. but you were, if the Red Sox, let's say he doesn't opt out, have David Price right now, you know, you're starting pitching. It's still an issue, but at least you got
a guy that at least you can throw out there and he's going to pitch six innings or whatever.
Now you got Eovaldi and then just whatever arms you can put together.
It is kind of like dumb luck, though, because I feel like if they kept Gratterall, he probably would break down with an arm injury.
Yeah,
but then they don't, and then he's going to end up being this like great closer for a number of years with L.A.
Do you guys expect that you'll see more teams going the route that the Dodgers went last night? Is this the beginning of an entire season full of series for the Astros where they're just getting plunked?
So I hope so, but I don't believe so.
Dodgers
because...
had the most beef.
So. Correct. I think it's going to be teams like that. You know, maybe the Yankees. You know, remember Aaron Judge had this huge beef that he should have been the MVP and not Jose Altuve that year because he didn't know what pitches were coming, even though, you know what, maybe they did.
It might be the teams that they lost to in the playoffs, right?
So, I think, yeah, teams that lost
like
in the playoffs.
Like
yeah.
the Red Sox, you know, they lost to the Red Sox. I mean, they beat the Red Sox
in the divisional round in 17.
Yeah, so teams that they beat, that you might see those teams like going after the
And
players.
There might be individual players, too, that remember playing the Astros and getting shelled and be like, well, I guess I didn't have it that day. It's like, no, you might have had it. You just, they knew what pitches were coming. So there might be individual vendettas. But, yeah, the Dodgers, even though Kelly wasn't on the roster that year, the Dodgers clearly had the most to be upset about. So I think you'll get it, but not every series.
No.
I think, you know, maybe in a couple of weeks we'll see another highlight of Correa, Altuve, or Bregman. I think those three specifically getting kind of thrown at.
My guess is, tonight especially, that I'm guessing that the Dodgers are going to stay right away. You can't be doing it back-to-back nights. Because then Major League Baseball is going to feel compelled to step in. If somebody throws one behind Bregman's head tonight, first of all, the umpire will then throw that pitcher out. But second of all, then Major League Baseball's got to say, all right, look, we gave you Tuesday night. We're not giving you Wednesday.
But it's more about whether or not the Astros do it. I think that's the bigger question.
Yeah, do the Astros feel like, you know what, we just got to kind of wear this, or do they kind of fight back on it? Because then that's going to force the Dodgers to say, okay, I guess we're not done, right? Like, it's one of those things. Can the Astros just say, hey, that's what we're getting for today? Or to Dale's point earlier, do first batter Mookie Betts is up, do they go at him, or do they wait till Bellinger is up or something like
and
that?
And I think the Astros would, because if I was one of the hitters – that was getting thrown at, I would go to my pitchers and say, hey, you know, return the favor for me. You know, you're my teammate. This is something that's going to happen to me all year. You know, return the favor. Make me feel a little bit good here. And if I was one of the pitchers for the Astros, I would go to, you know, the players and go, hey, listen, don't worry, I got your back.
Yeah. And if Mookie takes one in the shoulder tonight, up near the head area, does he then go to Joe Kelly and say, what the hell are you doing to me here?
No.
It's either that or he goes to one of his pitches and say, hey
Gratterall,
return
take that 100, put it in the hip of Brantley.
Right.
Put it right in the small of his back.
Line him up.
Right in that spot where he can't reach it. He can't do anything with it.
I honestly think that if Kelly plunked Bregman in the hip or plunked Correa in the thigh or something, nobody says a word. They're expecting it. What pissed them off, and it should piss them off, is going at the head. That's the rule that I
but
think.
Well, actually, what pissed him off last night was actually him talking trash to Correa after he struck him out.
Yeah, because Bregman just walked down
after he had thrown it both. Well, it's a 3-0 fastball that went behind Bregman's head.
No, right. But then they were all hung up on the, he was calling out, he was doing the sad face to Correa, and that's what got the benches going.
But do you think he threw at his head intentionally, or was he just trying to throw
at
his hip, his shoulder, smaller back, and it got away?
That was an awful long way from the hip.
Right, but I don't think any pitcher throws at a guy with the intent to throw
at his head. Not a lot of headhunting, there really isn't.
Yeah, I think they're more like, all right, I want to put this right on his hip or his lower back. And, you know, you're talking about
he missed the hip by 3 feet.
Well, yeah, that's the chance.
It was also a 3-0 count. You know, he's missed a lot of pitches.
Major league pitchers don't usually miss by that much, though. They miss. Absolutely. Nobody's perfect with control. But they don't miss by 3-4 feet.
I mean, I remember watching Kelly walk a lot of guys. It's also tough to see because the way Bregman ducks down. Like, I thought it might have been going lower than the head. But he kind of ducks it and makes it look closer to his head.
617-779-7937. We'll ask the question when we come back. Are the Red Sox actually worse than we thought they were going to be? It's Dale and Keith with Wiggy, and it's time to trend.
It's Dale and Keith with Jermaine Wiggins.
Stand by.
On WEEI.
The pitching has to be good or better.
3-2 pitch. The runner's hold. Here it is. And he lines one down the left field line. A hit for Cano. It goes to the wall.
For us to do well and to get in the playoffs. No question.
And a looper into right field, trouble. It drops for a hit. One run is scored.
I know the pitching is going to get better.
And a drive down the right field line, sliced toward the pesky pole. It hits the pole, a two-run homer.
You can't have enough with starting pitchers.
There's a swing and a shot ripped to right. Back goes Pilar. It's over his head. It one hops the wall.
But we realize we have to pitch well if we're going to get into playoffs.
Spoiler alert, they didn't. As Alex Spear pointed out last night, this is the second Red Sox team ever to allow seven or more runs in four of the first five games. The other one was the 1901 team.
That team was not great.
Well, Cy Young, I was pitching for that team.
Steve Buckley wrote a feature on them.
Cy Young threw 371 innings that year for that team.
He was a horse for them.
Yeah, he'd get the ball and go.
They don't have one of those. No, they do not.
Well, if you go back and if you just look at his highlights on YouTube, I mean, you could tell.
I love how Redeke corrects himself mid sentence when he says, like, we know the pitching's going to be good or better. He's like, good's a little hot. Good's a little strong. And real. I'm not going to lie to you guys. It's never going to be good.
The pitching has to be good or better.
I love that. He's right. It has to be better. Like, you have to give your team a chance.
It can't get worse. But if you give up seven or more runs in four of the first five games, it can't get worse than that.
But if based on the personnel, you are asking the pitching to be good, you're out of your mind. This happened last year when there were issues with some of the bullpen. Like, they don't bring Kimbrel back, which that in and of itself ended up being fine because Kimbrel was kind of cooked. And he went to the Cubs, wasn't that good.
He's still available out there.
But they just didn't replace him with anybody, right? So when guys would get shelled in the bullpen last year, it was hard to get mad at him because it wasn't like a good player or it wasn't a guy who's getting paid a lot of money. Or you're just like, well, that's what it is. And now you've taken that strategy and you've used it for your entire staff outside of Eovaldi, which is kind of funny because a year or two ago, remember some of the speculation was, I know he costs a lot, but should they just move him to closer?
Yep.
Should they just, you got through?
Well, didn't he even start in the bullpen?
And now he is really your only starter. Ron Renneke also said in that montage, you can never
have enough starters.
You don't have any.
Can you have one?
You don't have any. Oh, they do have
one.
No, they have one. They have one guy. Now, I wonder if Zach Godley will eventually be a starter or hopefully soon be a starter because he actually looked pretty good. Have you seen, Shine was showing me this before the show. Have you seen some of the ERAs? I know it's early. Mm-hmm. These are ERAs.
But it's technically not early.
It's
because
they played 15 games
or whatever. Because you're in a shortened season. So
Josh Osick has a 6 ERA. Martin Perez, 7.2. Dylan Covey, 9, which I do believe is below his career ERA.
Good news.
Austin Bryce, 9.82. Who? Matt Hall, 10.13. He was last night's starter. Ryan Weber, 14.73. Ryan Brazier, 27. And something called Jeffrey Springs, 33.75.
Well, this season,
bring in Nick Fryer.
You know,
I'd take him.
You know,
Fryer's got a few innings left in him.
Isn't this season just a throwaway season? That's what
it seems. It's looking like it.
It seems like that's what it's looking like, right? And you kind of felt that you felt they had a chance going into it. You go, all right, if they can,
because they got a good lineup. You're like, they got a good lineup, and they're expanding the playoff field. So there's a chance for
him. And if E-Rod can pitch the way he pitches and Eovaldi can kind of turn it around and get back to you, like, all right, maybe they could put some stuff together.
By the way, Xander Bogaerts had that comment. Was it after Sunday's game where he was like, you know, it's kind of hard, or maybe it's after Monday's loss to the Mets. Hey, he's like, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, you're giving up 7 runs. It's kind of hard to compete or whatever. I'm paraphrasing, but he calls out the pitching staff.
Mm-hmm.
How about you call out the other guys in the lineup? You scored 13 runs game one. Feels like forever ago. 13 runs. Since then, 2-4-4-3. Even if you have a lights-out pitching staff, I don't know if you win all those games. What do you win, 2-1, 4-3, and 3-2? That's asking a lot. So I think that the pitching staff gets a lot of the attention because it is horrible. And you have two openers. You essentially have four openers in your rotation. But they're not exactly hitting the snot out of the ball either.
Now, John Tomasi, writing on NBC Sports Boston last night, said Brandon Workman finally made his 2020 debut with a garbage inning last night. Even if it's just a one-off to give the offense a chance, why not use him as an opener? Let him throw at least one inning that matters. Why not?
As a starter?
I mean, I don't like it, though. Because isn't
but
he...
he's your closer, technically,
right,
now.
Right.
When's he ever going to get to throw?
No, I mean, it's true. But, like, bad teams, if you have a closer... So now, what if Workman throws the first two innings of a game, and now you get into the eighth, and you happen to be up one, two, or three runs?
Right. If a miracle happens,
now you have no closer.
Now here comes Osick or Matt Hall, then you're losing that game.
What's Koji doing these days?
I would just hope that your lineup is good enough, and you manage the rest of your relievers well enough that you find a way to have a lead late, and then you still have Workman available, and you hope that he can close it out.
It almost looks like with this team, the only way they're going to win baseball games is if they do what they did in the opener, which is you got to score a million runs, right? The bat's got to be on fire. Mm-hmm. So that means, you know, Devers and guy like Benintendi, you guys got to be able to hit JD Martinez. You got to hit the snot off the ball, because we need to be able to go out there, and they need to win games like they've been losing games, where they're scoring 7-8 runs, and now that gives them a chance to maybe win that type of...
Xander Bogaerts, by the way, who called out the pitching staff, is hitting .167 with a 500 OPS.
When do you pull the plug?
Benintendi, Bogaerts, and Devers are all hitting below 200. Benintendi's 1-16.
If you're Chaim Bloom, when do you pull the plug? I mean, there's got to be a point in time.
I mean, what does that mean?
I think the plug has been pulled.
No. What that means
I think it's
is,
hanging on the floor right now.
There is no plug.
What that means is that we trade away everybody.
Well, you don't trade them away the first week. The trade deadline is August 31st.
Right, but when do you get in the mindset, okay, it is we're pulling the plug and we are trading away everybody?
So the only guy that... First of all, how many players on their 30-man roster are even tradable? Like, how many players would other teams
want? And
they're
the ones you don't want to trade.
It's Devers,
Xander
Martinez,
Bogaerts,
I guess Benintendi. But Benintendi, if you traded him now... I would too, but you'd be selling them so low right now, wouldn't you? Like, I don't think you'd get something for them.
Are they going to have pitching issues next year?
Yes.
The year after that?
Yes.
The year after that?
I believe so.
So then what that tells me, Rich, I agree with you. So
where is the light at the end of the tunnel?
Right.
And don't just tell me it's Rodriguez or, hey, Chris Sale's going to be super healthy. I'm not buying
into
that.
So you know what that tells me? And really, besides E-Rod, here's what I would do.
All right.
I would trade away everybody.
For pitching?
Bogaerts. Devers.
No.
Yes.
I'm not trading Bogaerts.
No,
you got Bogaerts at a good deal.
But you only got Bogaerts for what, five more years? What was it, six years?
That's a lifetime.
That's
in
a
baseball.
Long time. When is his opt-outs, though? He has
but when you look at this team, their pitching issues are going to be issues that are going to be here for the next 3, maybe 4 years if you don't take care of those issues. And how do you maybe go out in there and get potential guys that you can take that can fix your problem?
So Bogaerts is signed through 2025, mm-hmm. but he has an opt-out after 2022. So what,
which
two
today,
seasons
if you
after
ask him,
this?
He might be out the door.
Right.
He might. Well, and honestly, if he plays well, he should, because he's making $20 million a year, which he looks around at what some of these other guys are making.
Bingo.
And at that position, he probably will make more. So,
and you're going to be on a team that's not very good.
Let me
make you feel worse about what you've seen so far from the Red Sox.
Not possible, Dale.
Well, it's possible.
All right.
Obviously, with the shortened season and the increased 30-man roster, the numbers are different now. But the highest payroll in baseball right now belongs to the Yankees, $111.05 million. Behind the Yankees are the Dodgers, $105.94. Third in Major League Baseball, your Boston Red Sox.
Sorry to disappoint you.
$84.8 million payroll, third highest payroll in baseball for what you've seen them trot out there the last couple of nights.
Suck on it.
They're paying you. Thanks a lot, Dombrowski. Way to go, Dombrowski. Chris Sale is making $30 million to not play.
Yep.
David Price, you're paying him $16 million. Actually, no, you're not paying David Price.
No, you don't have to pay him.
So does that include him or no?
No, that doesn't.
Oh, okay. All right. So... That ended up being a good thing, and you're still the third highest payroll in the league. That's
where's
amazing.
Your money tied up, Bogaerts?
So Bogaerts, we did get Cashner.
You got Bogaerts? No, he's off the books. You got Bogaerts for 20, JD Martinez 23, almost 24, Evaldi 17, Pedroia, that's money well spent, 13, Jackie Bradley 11, Erod 8.5. And then there's like a bunch of guys making between 2.5 and 3, like your Morelands, Pilars, Workmans, Benintendi, etc.
But that roster you've watched go 1-4 accounts for the third highest payroll in
baseball. Right, but is this roster going to change in the next 2-3 years?
So the only hope you would have, this would be the glass overflowing Red Sox fan,
okay,
would say Chris Sale is going to come back from this injury and pitch out the rest of his contract.
You believe that?
No. I didn't want him to begin with.
What is he going
to
be, 32 or 33?
Yeah. Yes.
32, 33 coming off of Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, I don't think it's
going to
work.
Right,
I'm going back
to my original plan. Remember how you said your original plan for the NFL?
Trade
all your picks.
Get players.
I would trade away all my players to see if I can get as much pitching as possible to try to build this team for the next three, four, five, 6 years.
Then you'll have the
exact
opposite team that you have now. You'll pitch like hell and you can't hit a lick.
Right, but I think it's a little bit easier maybe if you can find hitters.
To hit. Yeah. The bad pitching teams get exposed pretty quick.
Right.
That's true. But I'm not getting rid of Bogarts. I'm not. Bogarts.
You trade J.D. Martinez and you can get a nice package for him. And you can send him to the NL. They have DHs now all year. They're probably going to keep DHs forever at the NL.
That's your hair comes. Shy. I want to trade J.D. Martinez.
Shy. I'm with you on that.
All you keep
here he comes.
All you keep is Bogarts and Devers. Everybody else is up for grabs.
I'm keeping Devers. I might get Devers on Awaken 180 real quick. This guy can't field, can't hit right now. He's just a load over there at third base.
Well, that's my point. If
you could DH him, I would DH Devers. Get him off of third base. What are we doing?
But then you got to play Martinez in the outfield, and that's
I'm saying if you traded Martinez,
if
you traded him, then I think you would DH Devers.
Load management.
They did that game too with Bogarts.
I think there's a good chance that Bogarts opts out, and you end up losing him, or he ends up going somewhere. You end up moving him anyways. So
trade Jackie Bradley in a hot second. I'm surprised he's still on the team.
I would trade everybody. I would trade, and that would include Bogarts. Because
I gotta keep somebody.
He might be my one untradeable. If I gave you the rest of the roster, Wiggy, he's the one guy I'm not.
I'm on board with you, but guess what? You're not getting much for any of them. Who are you getting anything for?
Oh, you're not getting much for it. You don't think you?
I mean, Martinez.
You don't think you get some good pitching for Bogarts?
No. I'm saying besides Bogarts. Bogarts, you would get a haul, but I don't want to trade him. He's the one guy I do
but
not want to.
But why would you not? If
you
because
have somebody.
He's 27.
But if you feel like that.
Because I don't think you have to suck for a number of years. You're the Red Sox. You can still sign big free agents eventually once the luxury tax thing settles. You'll be able to attract players. Pedroia comes off the books in a couple years.
Right, but aren't we looking at this team for them to be good? Why aren't we looking at it maybe 3-4 years down the road?
So I guess that's the thing. Do you have the appetite to be bad for that long?
If you reset the luxury tax, you'll have money to spend next year. You've got some big contracts coming off the books. The Red Sox can and will spend money.
But
will they spend money? They didn't want to spend money on Mookie Betts.
No, they did not.
Well, how much did? I mean,
if you want a couple of those pitchers, right? If you want those pitchers, you're going to have to spend money. Are they going to be willing to do that?
It is amazing that this is the team that won the World Series in 2018 and had a bunch of players in their 20s on that roster, and then just think just 2 years later, you're in this situation. It's amazing.
617-779-7937. Rich, Wiggy's been on the show with us 2 days this week.
That's right.
For the second of 2 days, Magic City is going to be the topic that comes up next.
Good. Thank God he's here.
The wings, man.
Lemon Peppa. Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
It's Dale.
How do you fix chemistry?
It's Keith.
Pizza party.
With Wiggy.
You gotta learn how to, like, finagle the bagel and go to back door.
On WEEI.
But the big test is gonna be, okay, what happens when these guys start to travel? What's gonna happen this first 7 to 10 days? And we found out. I believe it happened in Atlanta, John, whether in social distance on the bench or the guys go out. I'm hearing both ways that a couple of young guys went out. Then boom, you know, came back and it spread wildly.
Lemon pepper aroma.
So that's Bob Nightingale, USA Today, said he's hearing that the young guys went out when they were in Atlanta. The one good thing from the Major League Baseball perspective is that they've had about 6,400 tests in Major League Baseball since last Friday. And the Marlins are the only team who had positive test results.
That's really? Amazing.
That's what they said yesterday.
I didn't hear that.
No, there's a lot of discussion about the Marlins, and it does seem like after playing the Braves in an exhibition game, there's a lot of rumors about that. And I don't know if it was just enough rumors turned into like fact and this wasn't what happened, but it has to be something. If every other team
is following protocol,
doing what they're supposed to do, right, and nobody is positive, I mean, they have the expanded rosters, they're testing coaches and the manager and everybody else, and nobody has it all across the country in Major League Baseball, and half the Marlins have it. Right. So what were you guys
doing? Something went wrong.
What happened?
Now, there was a story out there that the Marlins were reportedly saying that they blamed it on a crew member from their charter flight who had reportedly tested positive.
Maybe they went to the strip club.
Well, yeah. But then they went to the charter company and they said, no, as soon as we heard that crew member X had tested positive, we replaced the entire crew. That person never got near the plane.
Oh,
so you know what this is?
This is
Marlins players lying, because what they don't want to say is, yeah, we were at Magic City just getting some wings now, nothing else. Just getting some wings.
How do you go?
Magic City seems like that's the hotspot for coronavirus.
The season hadn't even started yet, and these guys were already like, yeah, we can go out here. We'll be fine.
Well, it's Georgia. You know, Georgia's a little Georgia's bit more open.
They go open. Strip clubs are open.
Strip clubs
are
open.
Strippers wear masks.
Just
masks.
I don't believe so.
I think you could get a whole line of clientele for that.
Well, you know, they probably heard how good the wings were.
True. Yeah, you can't wear a mask and eat those wings.
That's the thing. Go and get your wings, wear your mask, get out.
Go home.
Here's the other thing about the Marlins. They have already had their season paused through the weekend. They had an off day scheduled for Monday. They are not scheduled to play again until Tuesday against the Philadelphia Phillies, ironically. And that's if everything goes great. But yesterday, Miami Mayor Carlos Jimenez announced that the Marlins should have to adhere to a 14-day quarantine protocol when returning to South Florida because they've got so many guys who have tested positive for COVID-19. So now the mayor's saying, you come back here, we're going to lock you down for 14 days.
Yeah, what are the chances that they play August 4th? That is Tuesday, next Tuesday.
What are the chances they play in Miami? I'd say none.
Well, yeah, like you said, that's where they're
and
scheduled.
And I think, Rich, you brought up a good point. They should forfeit all their games.
I think you got to pull the plug on them. I think they're done.
Well, even if they're not done, like let's say if they have to quarantine for 14 days, all those games that they were supposed to play in the 14 days should all be forfeits, and you know they should have the opportunity to come back and play. Maybe hopefully they learned their lesson.
I mean, it's just a weird thing. So if you pause them and then they come back, are you in a hurry to finish those games, or what do you do with them? And if
they're forfeited games.
Okay, but so, do they come back and
play
the rest?
Yet. They haven't forfeited them now.
Yeah, because right now they just postponed. So all those games against Baltimore and
the Nationals
Washington.
Were supposed to go to Miami this weekend, and the Nationals said, we're not going there.
Right.
No, we don't want to go.
Those games are all postponed.
But those should be all forfeits, and those should be all wins, right? Because we know that the reason why that they've had a corona outbreak is because they were doing something wrong.
Right,
because
that's my point, is Baltimore... I mean, they probably won't matter in the
grand
scheme
of
things.
By the way, we don't know, Wiggy. We think that's the case, but nobody knows for sure.
It just feels like it has to be something.
Right.
If 29 other teams are 100% clean,
right? Let's stop it with. I think I heard Dale talking about it, that the plane wasn't clean, and
that's what the Marlins were claiming.
Well, the Marlins are using that.
Glenn had said originally, and OMF was talking about it, and I was like, really, you're gonna fall into that? The plane, the circulated air.
I mean, half the other teams have already flown.
Right.
Actually, at this point, probably all the teams have
flown. Red Sox got on a plane last night after the game.
Right.
So probably everybody at this point.
So probably a couple guys, whether it was Magic City or somewhere else in Atlanta.
What are the other hotspots down there?
Well, there's Platinum 21.
Maybe they were there.
Very good establishment.
Could be there.
He's got a list here, doesn't he?
Strokers?
What? Yes.
What? Dump that, John.
So that's another good establishment.
Can't do that.
There's Diamonds.
Diamonds. They could have been at Diamonds.
Could have been there.
Magic City's getting all the heat, but they easily could have been at Diamonds.
Why is Magic City the only name we've heard? Well, Wiggy just gave us four right off the top of the dome.
Because of Lou Williams.
Well, because
Lou Williams with Magic City.
Magic City would be the veteran out of all those. So it's been around the longest.
The establishment.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, that's like where David Justice might have won when he played.
That
so it's been around for
in
a while.
The 90s.
Some of these are newer establishments. Yeah. Yeah. But and their wings are tremendous.
Good wings. Yeah. Good try those wings.
But those games should be forfeited.
Yeah, they might have to.
So that, now
so
you don't
point,
mess
what
up
you,
the
what
schedule.
What are you supposed to do?
Well, at the moment now, you've got no chance of the teams in the National League East and the American League East being able to play 60 games just based on losing a whole week's full of games from this team.
Yeah, that's what's weird. So then when you go to try to figure out who the playoff teams are, I don't really know what you do. Because the Orioles, for example, not that they'd be a playoff team, but they have four games right there. Do you just give them four wins? Or do they end the year playing 50 games?
You would find out. Like, fellas, somebody be honest. Was it We're all going to get thrown out of the league and nobody's going to get paid unless somebody's honest. Guys, did you go out? And if they did go out, then what happens is they find that out.
They forfeit
the games. I don't have to throw them out of the league.
No, no, you throw them out for the year.
For the season. No, no, yeah. They got to be done.
Well, you know what? See, I don't think you have to throw them out for the season. I think what you would be able to say.
Yeah, thanks, Hawk.
Is you're done and you're not going to be able to go back playing until everybody tests negative. And so every game that you're supposed to play is a forfeit loss, because there might be some guys on that team that wanted their money, but because a few knuckleheads.
No, it sucks.
Now the whole, well, we don't have to shut down the whole season for the Marlins. You just, every game that they miss is a forfeit loss until they can get healthy enough to get guys back on the field.
The Patriots are not expecting, I'm putting up my quotation fingers, not expecting to have any more players opt out. We'll hear from one of those who did yesterday when we come back. Dale and Keefe with Wiggy Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.